Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone is having a wonderful Sabbath. Say hello to all those out there over the webcast. Hopefully you'll be with us one of these days. Every day, a human being like us, we must make choices. Many of these choices will have long-term ramifications that will affect our happiness, our well-being for the rest of our physical life, and some of our choices can affect beyond to the spiritual, to whether we will be given eternal life or not. To ensure our lives are happy and that we can have a peace of mind, we are required to make wise choices. God's word is the wisdom of God, so it will always bring us the proper information to make wise choices. We know our choices will affect our physical as well as our spiritual well-being. The Bible makes clear that the ultimate reality is not in this physical world, but rather a spiritual future that is beyond our physical senses. It's beyond what we can physically see, what we can physically hear, what we physically feel. The ultimate goal of a human being is to have the perfect, righteous character of God. All human beings have senses that can physically see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. Only those that God calls and gives His Holy Spirit are allowed to perceive spiritual things. Once you're called, you're allowed to understand more ammunition, more answers, more knowledge, more truth to help you make wise choices instead of only using what you physically see, or what you physically hear, or what you physically feel. Today I would like to focus our attention on the importance of making wise decisions, or wise choices. I'd like to cover this in two phases. I should step back. I should say that I'm wanting to first cover two phases of a human being's life. I think that needs to be set before we move forward in talking about making choices. We're going to be looking at a human being's life in two phases. The first phase is before God's calling. That's the billions of people out there in the world right now who are cut off from the deeper things of God. Then the second phase I want to discuss is once God calls an individual, gives them His Holy Spirit after they make a commitment to Him at baptism, there's a second phase that occurs within a human being's life. The first phase is incomplete, brethren, without phase two occurring. God expects that phase two to occur within a human being's life. We will first cover the first phase, which I would like to call the physical phase of a human being. We're going to see later that all human beings have been given the Spirit in man to make choices. I thought it was very interesting last week that Mr. Foster took some time to talk about this Spirit in man. And I've been planning on giving this sermon for 3 or 4 weeks now. I thought it was very interesting he went into that subject. But we see that all human beings have been given the Spirit in man to make choices. This Spirit in man provides all human beings what we call our mind, the mind, which allows all human beings the capability of self-awareness, of intellect, to be able to think things through, a process, to reason, to have creativity, to appreciate beauty. The Spirit in man has been given for the ability to think, to reason, and to make choices. Something that was given to man that was not given to animals and sea creatures and the birds and the rest of the creation that took place there. During this first phase, the human being is under a heavy sway of Satan the devil. He's heavily swaying their choices. During this phase, the human being decides for himself what is right and what is wrong. Once Adam and Eve made the decision for themselves to reject God, they decided for themselves to choose what's right and what's wrong. And from then forth, human beings have been cut off from God, except for those who have been called and invited into phase two. His choices in phase one are determined by what he physically sees and hears physically. To be in phase one, brethren, the human being is incomplete. He hasn't been given the knowledge, God's knowledge, God's understanding, God's way of life, his thinking, the decisions and choices that God has already determined what was right and wrong. They are missing all of that. Then we're going to see a little bit later what I'm calling the second phase of a human being. In order to enter this second phase, we must be called or chosen by God. He calls you out of the world through a process. Through baptism, he gives you his Holy Spirit. Brethren, once that Holy Spirit is given to a human being, major game changer. Major separation between a phase one human being and a phase two human being. Once you've come from the physical and move into understanding the deep things of God and begin to apply them into your life, changes occur in your choices, in the way you live, in the way you think. Some of us are going through that second phase right now. All of us here in this room. All will not go through this phase two right now. But all will be offered it. Some during the millennium. As they live off into the millennium, God will give them his Holy Spirit. Begin to give them those deep things of God and begin to work with them. Other human beings won't be till the fulfillment of the last great day, when billions will be given that opportunity at that second phase of a human being's life. During this second phase, God rescues us from being controlled by Satan. Satan can still affect us if we allow it, but he takes us away from being captive of his, of that heavy sway that the phase one human being has. God begins the process to convert our way of thinking in the physical in that phase one, and he begins to develop the spiritual way of thinking. A spiritual mind. They call it a new mind, a new way. A spiritual mind that begins to think like God, begins to act like God, that begins to apply principles and laws and commandments of God into their life. It's a game changer in a human being's life. He teaches us his law, his commandments, the way he thinks. And God teaches us his character. And he wants us to develop the same. During this phase, we are to humbly give up our right to choose what's right and what's wrong. What we used to have as a phase one human being, when you go through baptism, you commit your life to God. Your life now is owned by God. You have agreed to submit to God's way, God's instructions. What God has already said is right and wrong. We don't choose for ourselves. During this second phase, we are learned to submit to Him. As we learn and begin to apply God's instructions into our life, brethren, we begin to make wiser choices. Or we should, because we have more instruction. We have more understanding to be able to make a wise choice. God has chosen this method of these two phases of a human being's life to teach His way. He probably could have done it many different ways. But once Adam and Eve made that choice, He decided to do it this way. Until He calls you, you're cut off from His understanding, His deeper things of God. The ultimate goal of a human being is to be spiritually born into God's family, having developed the perfect, righteous character of God. All of us have been in that process. We learn a little bit each day, a little bit at a time as we read God's Word, we study God's Word, we hear God's Word, we apply God's Word into our life, we begin to develop righteousness. It's not ours, it's God's. He develops that in us. He's doing that. He's developing His character with it in us. A little bit at a time. After going through both phases of a human being, the ultimate goal is to make the exact choices in our life that God would make. Jesus Christ said in the Bible when He walked the earth, "If you have seen Me, then you have seen the Father." The ultimate goal for all of us. If we could say, if you see us as our finished product at the end of phase two, as we enter God's family, then you have seen the Father and you have seen Jesus Christ. The ultimate goal is to be at one with God in His family. So we're going to be covering these two phases of a human being at the beginning. Not that much time in phase one, spending most of the time in phase two, obviously. If you would like a title for this message, the title is simply Making Wise Choices. Making Wise Choices. Let's begin to address what I have called phase one of a human being. Most human beings on the earth today are phase one. The way I'm labeling phase one is before God's calling. There's billions of human beings out there that are cut off from God right now. They cannot understand the deep things of God. They think it's foolishness. They can't understand. They haven't been given an opportunity yet, but they will. These human beings have not been called by God as yet, and they have not been given God's Holy Spirit. I will not be spending a lot of time here. We could go to many scriptures that we could turn to, but I'd like to spend most of this time in the sermon in phase two, after God calls us, because that's what affects us. These phase one human beings have not been called by God as yet. These human beings use their physical senses to make their decisions. Selfish desires, greed, physical emotions, a lust, all of those things heavily affect the choices that they make under a heavy influence of Satan the devil. Well, you might say, there's a lot of human beings out there that are good. And I agree. If you remember, Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are some good that they can comprehend and apply into their life. They're applying principles of God into their life. They reap blessings from that. It's a law that is in place. Many people that I have come across, they will make an immediate change in their life. It'll be so easy for them once they are given God's Spirit. Sometimes makes us look pretty silly. With the help that we are given, And it seems like sometimes they do better jobs than us. But even if you see someone that you think is good, they're missing the most important part of what God is doing with human beings. God has not allowed them yet to understand the deep things of God. Not allowed to understand His instructions to help them to make the choices in their everyday life. These human beings are attracted heavily to the material and the physical things of this world. We, in phase two, still have to reject those things. We're attracted by them as well. But with them, they're heavily influenced by Satan. So with this said, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I'd like to begin in Genesis chapter 1. The beginning of the Bible, we know this is where the creation took place. I want to see here in this chapter that God created the animals, the sea creatures, the birds, and He made each one of them after their kind, a unique kind. But when we get to man, when we get to human beings, He was made after the God kind, after God's image and God's likeness. Let's read this. Genesis 1, beginning in verse 21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind. So in other words, a whale is made after the whale kind. A whale is not going to look like a fish in the future. It's made after a specific kind. And every winged bird, according to its kind. So a pelican's going to look after the unique design of its kind. And God saw that it was good. Down to verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then we come to verse 26 when human beings were created. There's a difference here. We're not made after our unique kind. Let's read it here. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Man was not made according to its own kind. We were made to look like the God kind, taking on His image and His likeness. Later, spiritually, taking after them their spiritual image and their spiritual likeness. As the process, as we go through the entire process. But it says here, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Man was the only one that was created here that was after God's image and God's likeness. Throughout the Bible, God teaches us that He is reproducing Himself through human beings. He's not doing that through the animals. He's doing it through human beings. The Bible talks in many places about a spirit in man. And we understand that this spirit in man, it separates the human being from the animal intellectually. They're able to think. They're able to process. They're able to do many things that animals cannot do. Let's go to Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32, Here we're going to read that God gives all human beings what he has called a spirit in man. Let's read here for Job chapter 32, beginning in verse 8. It says, "But there is a spirit in man." And I'd like to point out something here. When the spirit in man is talked, the word spirit is a lowercase s. When we start talking and getting to scriptures that's talking about the Holy Spirit, it's always a capital S. So let's take note of that here. "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding." We see here that this spirit in man is used for God to teach understanding, to teach certain things to him. Take note at this point, once again, the small letter S. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. And here we're going to read that God forms this spirit of man within human beings. Very clearly, God is doing this within a human being. Zechariah 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, "The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens." In other words, God is the one that stretches out the heavens. God is the one that lays the foundation of the earth. And God is the one that forms the spirit, lowercase s, forms the spirit of man within him. This spirit of man enables what we call our mind. As we've already said, including our self-awareness, our intellect, our creativity, and the ability to appreciate beauty. The animals didn't have that. God did something special with a human being that he did not do with the rest of creation at that time. The spirit in man gives us the ability that make us a physical human being in the image of God. Being able to think, being able to reason, be able to make choices, and to be able to do things with our minds that the animals cannot do. The spirit in man separates human beings from the animals, but is still lacking God's spiritual help. He offered it to Adam and Eve, but Adam and Eve rejected it. So once they made that decision, they were cut off. This phase one human being has the spirit of man, but does not have God's Holy Spirit yet. This phase one human being makes his own choices with the physical knowledge. He makes his own choices of what's right and what's wrong. They make their choices by what they physically see and hear. Like I said, I didn't want to spend a lot of time with this aspect, the physical aspect of a human being. I wanted to point it out because the decisions and choices that they make is way different than the choices and the decision that a human being makes after they've been called and given his Holy Spirit. So I'd like to move on to phase two here. And I think all of us are aware that God's calling is a huge change in a human being's life. I'd like to call it the huge game changer. It's a huge separation from where you were before God's calling and after. Making your own decisions and physical, using physical things, now able to make choices and decisions and live your life with God's understanding, with God's instructions. Huge, huge change. There's a definite separation between the two, and all human beings will have this opportunity in their day. I think all of us are aware that the commitment at baptism and giving of God's Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands is one of the most important commitments a human being can make. I will say, it is the most important decision and commitment that a human being makes. Let's get into phase two. In order for this human being to enter phase two, God must choose you and open your mind. You're out there in the world. You're just going your everyday life. You don't understand this other phase is even there. You think you already understand God. You're reading the Bible. You're applying. You're trying to live by the Ten Commandments. You don't even know this other end is there. But God has to choose this individual, and he begins to reveal to him some deep things of God that's not normal. Understanding that is hidden from a normal physical human being. He begins to call you and he begins to reveal certain knowledge to you. If God chooses you to enter phase two, and he gives you his Holy Spirit, he then is inviting you into his family. You become his children. You become heirs and inheritors of something that is unbelievable. God begins the process by allowing you to understand a few spiritual things. He expects you to respond to him by submitting to his calling, by begin to understand. He wants you to respond to that. He allows you to understand yourself and how you have been living in the physical, under physical standards. You'll probably be seen where you have been living a life that's not proper. You may even feel guilt. He begins to work with you and begins to open your eyes to something that you have not seen before. He brings you to a level that you see yourself living in a wrong manner. You need to change. He brings you to the point that you need to repent. You see that of yourself. God helps you see that you must repent and dedicate your life to God. Commitment. Commitment's a nasty word today. No one wants to have commitments. He demands commitment here. In order for the human being to enter phase two, you must make a commitment to God. That commitment is done at baptism. He brings you to this point where you desire to repent, change your life, submit your life to God from that point forward. That's the commitment that we make with God. We symbolize that by being buried in a watery grave, killing that old way of life, burying that old man, that old way of living, and you're agreeing to live differently, obeying God's instructions, beginning to learn to think like God thinks, begin to live your life like God would live it if you were a human being. Obviously, his thoughts are not man's thoughts, but Christ lived perfectly what God the Father expected of him when he walked the earth. This commitment at baptism is a must to enter phase two. He expects us to have responsibility. We have to make the commitment and then we must follow through. We have to be led by God's Spirit after he gives it to us. We must mature, grow and develop spiritually. That's the commitment that we make at baptism. I'd like to now address some scriptures that talk about the Spirit in man, talking about phase one, as well as the Holy Spirit talking about phase two. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here the Apostle Paul explains that our human mental abilities as a human being come through this Spirit in man. Then Paul goes further and shows how God's Holy Spirit is different, has different effects on a human being. We must have God's Holy Spirit to understand the deep things of God. God's Holy Spirit is needed here. Let's read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Verse 9 is talking about a human being before his calling in phase 1. But as it is written, eye has not seen. They haven't seen anything. They can't understand at that point. Nor ear heard. Nor have entered into the heart of that man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Then they couldn't understand. They didn't know all of this was over here. Then Paul addresses in verse 10 about phase 2, those who have God's Spirit. He's addressing people with God's Spirit in phase 2. He then says this, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, capital S, through His Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. With that Holy Spirit, God can teach and give you knowledge and give you understanding of the deep things, as Paul describes it. Verse 11, talking about phase one here. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Meaning, he knows what the spirit of man allows him to understand from a physical sense. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. In other words, a phase one individual cannot understand God until He is given His Holy Spirit and moved to phase 2. Verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit, which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Once you move to phase 2 and you have been given God's Holy Spirit, now you're able to understand and know the things that have been freely given by God. Your eyes, the scales to your eyes are being removed. He's allowing you to have understanding. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's physical wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the physical, fleshly, carnal, phase one man, does not receive the things of the Holy Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. A phase one individual, I've heard many people say, I tried to teach my relatives the truth. God called me, I tried to teach all my relatives. They thought I was crazy because it's foolishness to them. They haven't been given the calling yet. They haven't been able to witness the mercy and the blessing that some of us have been able to witness in this life so far. But guess what? They all will have that opportunity. What a beautiful understanding that is when we understand it. Paul says here that a human being has his mental capabilities because of the spirit in man. He can only understand the things of man, the physical. Then Paul contrasts the spirit in man with God's Holy Spirit. We must be given God's Holy Spirit in order to know the spiritual things of God. My purpose today is not to do a deep study of the spirit in man and that of the Holy Spirit. I simply am wanting to explain there's two phases of a human being's life, because we're going to get on to wise choices here shortly. And what phase one individual has to make a wise choice, and what a human being has in phase two to make a wise choice, is two different ammunitions. We have weapons on this side that help us see and understand to make wise decisions that the phase one individual just simply does not have. Only those human beings that God selects to be a part of His church will receive His Holy Spirit. During phase two, God's Holy Spirit then meshes with the spirit of man. We still have the spirit in man now. We still have the ways to think, reason, enjoy beauty. We still have that spirit in man. It's recording, as Mr. Foster mentioned last week. And when someone dies, that recording, in a sense, goes to heaven. And when when that individual's resurrected, all of his life, his memories, is recorded there. During phase two, God's Holy Spirit meshes with the spirit in man at that point. The human being becomes more complete now, so that he can learn properly and mature properly, grow, develop properly, not being controlled by Satan the devil, but having their eyes focused on God, which goes well with the sermonette, by the way. This is very important to understand in the choices we make in our life. Phase one of a human being is incomplete without phase two. God's plan is to make His Holy Spirit available to all human beings, for all to be able to understand the deeper things of God and begin to develop all human beings' minds, to develop His character, to develop His righteousness within them. So if a human being has not been given God's Holy Spirit, then they are only making choices with the physical, being influenced heavily by Satan. But if God has called an individual, they make that commitment. He gives them His Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit unites with the spirit in man. Then what we understand and learn is used to make wise choices in our life. That's the goal. Wise choices. Using God's knowledge that He teaches us. Using God's law, His commandments, His instructions, His way. We use what He teaches us to make wise choices in our life. We have been taught that there is a vast difference between the animals and a human being. We have also been taught the difference once God unites His Holy Spirit in a human being. There's a major difference when that occurs between those human beings, and especially in our individual life, before God's calling, after God's calling. Huge change, especially in a first-generation Christian. A lot of us are second, third-generation Christians. It's a little different. It's not as obvious of a change, but it's there. We have also been taught the difference that second phase is separated in a different arena than the first phase. In a phase one human being, he makes his choices without applying the deeper things of God. So that's why I covered the two phases up to this point. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's go through a few more scriptures here that cover the Spirit in man as well as the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Here we will see Paul stating that when a human being with only the Spirit in man unites with the God's Holy Spirit, then we can move to phase two. We begin to understand and comprehend things after he gives his Holy Spirit. And he says here, we are invited into God's family. Romans 8, let's begin in verse 5. He's talking about phase one here at the beginning. For those who live according to the flesh or the physical or phase one, set their minds, their physical minds, on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, capital S, phase two, the things of the Spirit. You're able to apply what God reveals and teaches you. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded, to be physically, fleshly, phase one minded, brings death. Why? Because all of us have sinned. That penalty comes upon us. They haven't entered into phase two yet, where they have accepted that blood of Jesus Christ to cover their sins. They have that penalty of death over them. But to be spiritually minded, it brings life. This word life here means eternal life. The end of the process brings eternal life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal, fleshly, physical phase one mind is enmity against God. It's hostile against God. It doesn't accept God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It says here, the phase one human being cannot submit to God. Verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They're incomplete. They have to move into phase two. Phase two is what God uses to mold a human being. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. He's talking to people that are in phase two that have God's calling. You are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Going over to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Okay, so that's something that's added. Let's stop there and talk about that for a little bit. Once you're given God's Holy Spirit, does that mean we're done? Once saved, always saved? No. God's expecting you to start your growth process once He gives you His Holy Spirit to mature, to grow and develop. He says here, for as many as are led by the Holy Spirit. You must be led by it. You must learn to be taught, to submit, to begin to learn a different way to think, a different way to live, a different way to do things. It says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You become children of God, it says. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Holy Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We understand that when Jesus Christ was sacrificed, that veil was ripped in half, and we are given the direct access to God the Father. We've been instructed to pray to the Father. develop a relationship with a Father. He is our Father now. Verse 16, the Holy Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit in man that we are children of God. Begotten children right now. We're not literally born as a spirit being yet, but we will. We're begotten right now and born later. And if children, then you're heirs. You're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We must suffer. We have to go through this process. It's a conversion process from physical to spiritual. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to see here there's a process. In this situation, the writer of Hebrews, whether it's Paul or not, some have speculated it was, he's sort of correcting some of the brethren because they regressed. They weren't growing. And he had to once again teach them the basic truths again. And he could only teach them milk. Just like a physical human being. When that physical human being is born, he can't eat a steak. He drinks milk. And as it grows, as it matures, it begins to be introduced more solid food as he grows. And eventually he's able to eat steak when he grows older. A spiritual individual is the same. God can only teach a human being spiritual milk at the beginning. And as they mature, as they grow, as they develop, he's able to teach them more and more deeper things of God. Here the writer in Hebrews says in verse 12, Hebrews 5 verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the teachings of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." You start there, but it is our responsibility to do our part to submit and obey God's instructions so that we can mature and grow and develop as a spiritual being. Begotten now, eventually to be born. Verse 14. "But solid food, spiritually solid food, belongs to those who are of full age." Those who are maturing. That is, those who by reason of use or practicing what God teaches us, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul teaches here that a babe in Christ can only take milk. Then later, after the growth, then solid food can be absorbed into his mind. Solid food is for those who are maturing and growing spiritually. These individuals begin to discern right from wrong because he begins to understand what God teaches, what God's choice is, what he says is right, what he says is wrong. We submit as this phase two human beings to strive to live by that way. We begin to mature and grow in that way of thinking, of that way of growth process. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Man, I'm going to have to hurry here. Isaiah chapter 11. Here we're going to see a description of Jesus Christ with how the Holy Spirit in perfect traits that Jesus Christ has. We are striving to take on these traits. Let's read Isaiah 11, beginning in verse 1. It says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of the roots, out of his roots," talking about Jesus Christ. "The Holy Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Holy Spirit of wisdom and understanding." Perfect godly wisdom and perfect godly understanding Jesus Christ has. We are trying to learn those traits. It goes on to say, "The Holy Spirit of counsel and might, the Holy Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the eternal. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor." With what God has decided is right, that's what he uses in that righteousness to judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. We are to learn these traits in our life. We are learning to pick up on things as we go. God is teaching us as we're able to absorb, whether it's milk, whether it's soft foods or solid foods, the deeper things of God. Jesus walked this earth as a perfect human being and allowed God's Holy Spirit to guide his every choice. He made perfectly wise choices in his life. Hopefully, we can say, as we are learning and growing, we're beginning to make more wise choices than what we used to make. We now have talked about these two different phases of human beings' life. We can see that there is a huge difference between phase one and phase two. We have a much better chance to make a wise decision with God's understanding, with God's knowledge, with God's help. With this knowledge, let's now look at what we are expected to do. The nasty word, responsibility. We have a responsibility. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Here we begin to see what we must do in phase 2 in order to develop what God is expecting us to develop, the way we think, the way we live, the wise choices that we are to make. Proverbs 2, beginning in verse 1. He said, "My son, if you receive my words..." Well, that's a full statement right there, because in order to receive his words, you must read them. You must study them. You must be looking at them in order to accept them and receive them. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom," to godly wisdom, "and apply your heart to godly understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you take the initiative to pray to God, cry out asking for discernment, asking for help, asking for nourishment, asking to help respond. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding," you're praying and asking for godly understanding, "if you seek her as silver," effort, you're seeking God's knowledge, God's truth, God's wisdom, "and search for her as for hidden treasures." If we can do this responsibility, then verse 5, "then you will understand the fear of the eternal and find the knowledge of God. For the eternal gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of the justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. I want to read that one again. If we do our responsibility, brethren, if we're on this process of growth and our part is submitting, he teaches us, he leads us through his Spirit. It says, then you will understand righteousness. That's purely God. You understand righteousness and justice. You understand equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. That information that God gives to us affects how we live. It affects our choices that we make. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. We must read, study, learn God's word. It's part of our responsibility. We must learn to place God's opinion above everything. His opinion is what we live our life by. We will automatically learn to treasure and love God's instructions. We learn to make our choices per God's way and his commandments. We learn to turn to him and pray for help. If we ask in a proper way, God will teach us the choices we must make in our lives. We must rely on God for everything. We must rely on God for everything. We begin to understand that we must submit to God and understand that only God has the wisdom. Only God has the knowledge. Only God has the understanding for us to make godly and wise choices. We learn to rely on God in order to make choices in our everyday life. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Here we're going to see direct instruction that we must learn to apply into our life. This is extremely important. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. In this process of conversion, we must learn to trust God with everything. We must learn not to lean on our own egos and our own understanding, our own pride. Every one of us have that fight. Every one of us. We must always learn to acknowledge God in our life, and he will help direct our choices. We must learn to trust God and know that he will always guide our paths. We must learn humility and rely totally on him. Humility, another nasty word in this society. We must trust God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. We must learn to focus on God's spiritual treasure rather than using our physical senses to make the choices in our life. We've been used to all in our whole life before God's calling to make our own choices using our physical senses. We've got to give that up. And even I came in when I was 9 or 6. Came into God's church at 6. It's a fight still. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Let's read in verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver. In other words, don't focus on the physical. And knowledge, God's knowledge rather than choice gold. For godly wisdom is better than rubies, and all things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Our focus. If you put these scriptures together, the physical is not where it's at. The spiritual is where it's at. God and what God is doing in our puny lives is what's important. That is valuable. Our job is to submit and strive to do our responsibility as He lays out. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Let's focus on God's description of His godly wisdom here. Proverbs chapter 3 and beginning in verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. God's opinion, then, is our choice. The wise choice is what God tells us is right. What God tells us is good. God is the one that gives us that information. Let's go to Psalms chapter 119. I'm going to make this my final scripture. This is David, after living with God's Holy Spirit in his life. I want to read how David describes this. Psalm chapter 119, beginning in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Brethren, we are all striving to live God's way of life, to submit our life to Him, and to make wise choices in our life. We are learning to submit to the choices that God has already made. As we learn to submit to God's instructions, we are able to reap the blessings, not only in this physical life, but in what's to come, being a part of His family. A human being must go through these two phases to learn God's way of life. We must apply God's way in our life in order for us to make wise choices. The ultimate goal of a human being is to be spiritually born into God's family and have developed the perfect, righteous character of God. Brethren, let's strive to submit to God and make wise choices in our life.